At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical bill expert, finding savings can seem impossible. Well, HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. So start saving with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome to the Hornets Hivecast, the official podcast of your Charlotte Hornets. Here's your host, Sam Farber.
Welcome to another edition of the Hornets Hivecast, your Hornets podcast with all the notes, quotes, and daily buzz around your favorite NBA team. I'm Sam Farber, and it is a pleasure and a privilege to have you with us once again here on the Hornets Hivecast. We are back to game preview editions. It is time for the Hornets preseason opener. They are in Oklahoma City, and we'll be getting you a preview of that matchup. The first time we'll see rookies like Kai Jones, JT Thor, and of course James Bouknight out there on the floor. Give you a look at what we are looking for in that one, and also introduce you to someone that's been familiar around the Hornets media contingent for a long time now, but is in a new role as the beat writer for the Charlotte Observer, making his Hornets Hivecast debut, Rod Boone. Rod, it's good to have you here.
I'm happy to be here, Sam. Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Congratulations on the new job. We'll talk about a variety of different aspects about it, but first off, give us the introduction, the backstory on Rod Boone and your journey to this new job here with The Observer.
Well, I've been covering the team for the last 3 years. I've been doing journalism for over 2 decades now. I've been covering pro sports for the better part of the last, 10, 15 years. Covered the New York Jets, Brooklyn Nets, and then moved here to Charlotte. And I've been covering the Hornets for the last 3 years or so. So it's been really fun. I covered two of those seasons for The Athletic. Covered last season, basically doing my own blog for part of the year at first, and then started doing stuff for SI.com before I got the job for The Observer. So it's been a really fun journey to get to this point, man. But I'm excited to bring the fans and readers some great coverage here coming up.
And covering an NBA team is really changed a lot over the last 2 decades. Now the instant gratification that comes with social media has a lot of requirements for beat writers, and people aren't necessarily opening the paper to look for breaking news. They're expecting it to be sent to them at all times. So this is a 24/7 job. How has the adjustment been so far?
Well, actually, it's something I'm kind of semi used to, because even though when you work for online entity like The Athletic, you don't do the same daily grind of beat work per se. But working for newspapers pretty much my entire career before that, I'm used to the grind of daily beat work, knowing that it's pretty much a 24/7. So Twitter came on board, I want to say 2009, I was covering the Jets. It's never been a moment where you're off at your job. You can be at a supermarket, you can be out having dinner, your birthday with your wife, and you can get something happening on Twitter or something, or news breaking. Gotta jump on them. That's part of the job. So it's 24/7 nowadays. Again, with Twitter, Instagram, different social media outlets, and just the way things are nowadays with just people wanting news to be consumed 24/7, it's a nonstop job.
And yet, while things have changed a lot, the more they change, the more they stay the same in the aspect of certain respected media entities, and primarily newspapers, they're looked to first, they're dependent on more. I mean, yes, anyone with a Twitter account can technically be a journalist. Anyone with a blog can cover a team, and many of them do a really good job. But when people are looking for the most trusted news sources, they tend to go to the local newspaper and one of high esteem like the Charlotte Observer. So you're kind of stepping into the person of record covering all of Charlotte Hornets basketball.
Absolutely. And it's something I don't take lightly because I know it's a huge responsibility. I know that, you know, Rick Bunnell, the person I'm essentially replacing in this role, was a legend around here. I covered the team essentially from beginning to end, pretty much the entire time. And he basically, the team has been here. So to follow in his footsteps and to be the person of record is something I don't take lightly. And as you said, that's basically the way it is right now. Pretty much when people come for Hornets coverage, you want to come to someplace where you know it's a trusted news source. Charlotte Observer has been around for 150 plus years. Some of these new places, the blogs, whatever, you can be a good journalist and have a blog, but when you have the backing of an entity that's been around and has a masthead that people know, it's just different. So I feel like that's something that, again, that I don't take lightly, because I feel like that's a big responsibility. And I want to make sure that when people are looking for the best coverage of the Hornets anywhere, that they come to the Charlotte Observer first.
You mentioned the man, the legend that you're replacing, Rick Bunnell. I will never forget the day, the moment I heard that he had very suddenly, tragically, unexpectedly passed. And for me personally, I'll be honest, it felt a lot like the way I felt when I heard Kobe Bryant had died. And just, it was a complete shock out of nowhere. It felt like someone must be playing a cruel joke. And seeing the way Charlotte reacted to his passing, the league reacted to his passing, players, some of whom, quite frankly, did not have the greatest of runs in Charlotte and probably were the subject of storylines that they couldn't have looked at as, this is favorable to me. Not saying unfair. They were always honest stories. That's always what you got from Rick Bunnell. But everyone knows when you're the subject of a story and it's not glowing about you, sometimes you don't feel great about the person who wrote it. Universally, across the board, everyone was saddened and disappointed to see and hear the news that Rick had passed. So tell me a little bit about your experience with Rick. I know for me, coming here as a newcomer to the city, he was instantly welcoming. He was one of the first people I talked to. He had recommendations for restaurants and schools and neighborhoods and anything under the sun was so giving. Tell me about your experience with Rick Bunnell.
Well, just, I guess, being around Rick for a while now, the respect that he just commanded just being in the room. I mean, when you have that much experience and people know you're the guy pretty much of record and you're like a historian and you can pull stuff out of your head in 2 seconds, whereas everybody's got to get it on the computer and go to Google to kind of figure out what they're talking about, it just hits differently. So for him, he was just, I call him like a dean. He's like a dean of journalism and dean of basically Hornets coverage here in Charlotte. And to be around for the last 3 years, pretty much every day, was a privilege, man, because I feel like he kept me on my game. One thing about journalism is sometimes we can maybe get a little too full of ourselves at times because we feel like, hey, like you may become the story. Well, no, I never feel like I was the story and neither did Rick. And I feel like that's part of something I had in common with him is I wanted to make sure I told the story and I stayed out of it. And I think Rick was the same way. He never wanted to become the story. He didn't want people to focus on him. He wanted people to focus on the actual story he wrote about. So that I appreciated about him, and also just his professionalism. He was very kind to me. And there were several times when he mentioned, like, I would bring my daughters to the game every now and then and interact with them, but he would see me interact with them, and he basically would just come up and tell me how much he appreciated me and just how much he could tell I love my kids. So that was really special. I appreciate that about him.
He was a wonderful, wonderful person, a wonderful, wonderful reporter, and big shoes to fill. But we're glad to have Rod Boone here. I can say this from inside the building there, you know, we don't get to determine who other publications choose to cover a team. And quite frankly, you know, we trust in entities like The Observer to put a true pro out there. But there were a lot of smiling faces to see that you got this job and to get this opportunity to cover this team. We're going to talk more with Rod Boone, and we will be talking about the preseason opener. What are some of the big stories lines that Rod will be covering here in year one as the official beat writer for the Charlotte Observer? That's next here on the Hornets Hivecast.
Be sure to check out the Hornets Fan Shop at Spectrum Center, now open Thursday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Check out all the newest Hornets gear or grab a new pair of J's. It's an easy trip on the light rail, or you can shop from the comfort of your own home 24/7 at HornetsFanShop.com.
Sam Farber and Rod Boone of the Charlotte Observer here with you on the HHC. Rod is the new beat writer for the Charlotte Observer covering the Hornets, but he has been covering covering the team for several years now, and definitely a familiar face in the media room at Spectrum Center. In terms of what's coming up for you this season, talk briefly about Rick Bunnell. He was all over everything when it came to Hornets basketball. What are some of the things in your coverage we can expect to see? What are some new things you plan to bring to the table? Tell us about your coverage plan for the Hornets.
Well, that's a great question, man. We're still trying to figure out all the details of it, but I know I want to be as much, I guess, I want to reach out as much as I can, per se, to get as many people to be able to appreciate and follow our coverage, whether that's video, whether that's through storytelling, whether that's through podcasting, whether that's through interviews. It could be a variety of different things, which we're going to try to see what we can bring to the table here, to see what people enjoy and like, because we know the Hornets are a very hot team right now. You know, people care about the Hornets, period, but now that they actually are seeming to become, I guess, a little bit more national exposure, they're taking off right now. So I feel like for us, we want to be able to tap into that and make sure that the fan base has coverage that they want to. So, you know, we're going to have what I call a Hornets insider that's going to run potentially every week as well, to kind of give fans a little bit of inside information that maybe doesn't make the typical story of the day. So we're going to try a lot of different things to bring people a variety of ways to not only interact with us and appreciate the coverage, but also just follow it in different ways.
And this is a team that's got a lot of storylines around it right now, between, of course, LaMelo Ball, Rookie of the Year, going into Season 2. This core, this nucleus, which has been built over the last 3 years by Mitch Kupchak in the front office, now seeming to come into its own and really, I wouldn't say a make-or-break year, but this is a year where there's certainly more expectations than before. And whereas in years past, there had to be a significant addition to the starting lineup, here I feel like it's more additions to the reserves, guys like Kelly Oubre and Ish Smith. And what are some of the storylines you're looking forward to in this season?
Well, there's a couple. The first one, obviously, starts with the point guard. With LaMelo, you want to see that next step for him in year two. He obviously had a great rookie year before he got injuries, playing really lights out. When he came back, he wasn't the same player. He admitted it. So was James Borrego. But you want to see him not only come back and be the player that he was, but you want to see him take that next leap to be able to know when to slow the ball up, cut down on turnovers, take the right shots, know when to get other teammates involved, not foul. Things like that stuff that he has to kind of learn as he grows. I want to see what he does in year two. Also, I kind of want to see, obviously, Gordon Hayward. We kind of saw him a little bit last year before he got injured. We want to see exactly what he can bring to this team if he can play for a full season. You know, the plan is kind of keep him a little bit maybe on potential load management, maybe sit him down a couple of games here or there. But I want to see exactly if he can not only stay healthy, but if he can just be the player that they think that he can be and show last year, they can go to the next level. So that's interesting to me as well. And another thing, obviously, is you mentioned Kelly Oubre. I want to see how the bench kind of comes together, because that was an area of weakness last year. Even though they had players that kind of step into certain roles, Devontae Graham got injured, when Gordon got injured, when LaMelo got injured, when Terry missed a game or two, everybody kind of step up in the rotation per se. They didn't have enough depth to kind of keep that same role going. So those things are kind of interesting to me. And the last thing, probably many different storylines, there's so many of them, but the rookies. I want to see what James Bouknight and what Kai Jones bring to this team, because those guys have an incredible amount of energy. They've just been really kind of fun to kind of just cover so far with their personalities. So I just want to see how they kind of fit into this team and just how they go from there.
Some reporters are willing to answer these types of questions, some are not. I will respect whatever you choose, but what do you think the win total is for this Hornets team?
Wow, that's a great question. I gotta believe they're at least 500 or better, because if you look at what they were doing last year before everybody got injured, they were essentially in fourth in the East. And I feel like if they can maybe take last year's team and improve upon it a little bit with, again, better bench play, get lucky with guys not getting injured, I can see maybe getting up to maybe as much as 46, 47 wins. Because if you're at 500, you know, you're at 41-41, obviously. So I feel like they can maybe get a few games above that if things break right. So I would say maybe about 47 wins, 48, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I think with some of the new additions they've made in particular, kind of protect yourself, or you are better protected this year than they have been in recent ones against an injury. Because injuries are going to happen. I mean, no team has everyone play all 82. It just, it's not feasible. But to have quality backups in a Kelly Oubre, in Ish Smith, in whoever goes to that second unit between Miles Bridges and PJ Washington, you've got some real starter power there in those three players alone, plus the rookies you mentioned, who I'm sure will be chomping chomping at the bit for opportunities. Talking to Rod Boone here, the new beat writer for the Charlotte Observer, covering your Charlotte Hornets here year one for him. In terms of additional storylines, LaMelo Ball is the centerpiece. He is one of the league darlings out there, coming off a Rookie of the Year campaign. One thing that we touched on between me and Sam Perley in a recent piece we did on Hornets.com, we were focusing on returning starters, and I said, you know, LaMelo Ball taking a jump is a key to this team, but individually, the two recent point guards I think you can compare him to in terms of level of focus and accomplishment within their franchises are Ja Morant and Trae Young. Ja Morant, year one to year two, got his team fully into the playoffs. And Trae Young, year one to year two, had a scoring jump 10 points and became an all-star. LaMelo's so talented, I think he could probably do both. Where do you think he goes individually here in year two?
I think he can, as you mentioned, definitely take a step up in terms of just cutting back on turnovers for one. That's probably, I'm sure, his biggest thing is making sure his court vision has improved. But I can see him easily getting his team to the playoffs because, again, they were right there last year. We know it was a shortened season by, 10 games because of, you know, the pandemic and everything, but they still were right there. Even at the end, they just didn't have enough left in the tank. You know, you got Miles Bridges went down with, you know, going on the COVID list and stuff like that. So they just couldn't have enough to kind of get over that last hurdle, so to speak. So I think when you factor that into the equation, you factor in that this kid is very hungry still, and the fact that he likes to be coached, and you can tell he wants to get better, and he has players around him who he knew a little bit previously before he got here, and now that he's here, you can see they're kind of like a family, so to speak. I think this can be a great leap for LaMelo Ball. Just all depends on just how much he really wants it. But those are two great examples in Ja Morant and Trae Young, because if you can even come close to what those guys did in year two, then the Hornets are going to be good going forward.
Well, it all starts tonight as the Hornets will open up preseason play against the Oklahoma City Thunder. We're going to preview the matchup. What are we looking for? What is Rod Boone of the Charlotte Observer looking for here on night one of the preseason? We'll talk about it next here on the Hornets Hivecast.
Hornets fans, the buzz is building. For season ticket packages for the 2021-2022 season, call 704-HORNETS or visit hornets.com to chat live with a season ticket representative. Lock in your price today.
Rod Boone, the Hornets beat writer for the Charlotte Observer, here with us today on the HHC, our first game preview edition of this new season, I guess of this new preseason. We can kind of restart everything again once we get closer to October 20th against the Indiana Pacers, a game for which tickets are still available. Go to hornets.com. All right, Rod, some questions for you about the preseason opener against the Thunder. What do you think the starting lineup will be for James Borrego and the Hornets?
That's a great question. Obviously, we know pretty much the entire lineup other than maybe one spot. But I would say, if you're asking right now, I would say probably, obviously, LaMelo Ball. Obviously, Terry Rozier. Then you got Gordon Hayward. And I would say at the four spot, I think it's going to put Miles Bridges there. Just my personal opinion. Then obviously, Mason Plumlee playing five. I think he goes with Miles at the four starting, because if you bring PJ off the bench as one of your first options, you can either make him play the five or have him play the four, just shift guys around depending on what you want to do with your substitution rotation. So to me, I think that's probably the way JB will go. Doesn't mean if he doesn't in game one of preseason, it's game one of the regular season two against the Pacers. But I think if you ask me, it's just really that one spot, probably power forward, and I think Miles probably slides up in there, because obviously he also fares well with LaMelo Ball on the court.
Yeah, I think either way, I would expect we'll see PJ Washington and Miles Bridges end up playing similar number of minutes. Yes. It's just, where do you put the combos? And PJ Washington is one of the better shot blockers in the NBA. So even though he is a small ball center, he's someone who can cover that position. And, you know, depending on the matchups, team really seemed to like having him out there on the floor at the five. But if you put him and Miles, if you put him and Mason Plumlee out there at the same time, it does kind of limit your options. But with that in mind, who's the first center off the bench that isn't Mason Plumlee or PJ Washington?
That's a great question, man. I think it's going to be people's favorite, the fan favorite right now. It might be Kai Jones. I mean, you can see that he's obviously said he's going to play the four and the five here, it appears. It just depends on his level of comfort in the offense and defense. I think if he can come out here and show he can play within himself right away and not do too much out there on the floor and just do what the coaches are asking him to do, I can see him potentially being that guy if it's not somebody like PJ off the bench first. But I think Kai could be in the rotation if everything works out the way it's looking right now.
How important is game one of the preseason for this young Hornets team?
I think it's one of those things where, I mean, even asking JB about a little bit, you know, last week leading to the game, he kind of made it seem like it's something that you don't want to put too much stock in. Even though you're competitive, you want to go out there and win and show people that you're not a bunch of losers, whether preseason or not, you still have to focus on the task at hand. And that's checking out certain rotations and making sure guys obviously just come out of the game unscathed with injury. That's the main thing. And just giving your main guys probably a little bit of time, not too much, maybe a quarter or so tops in terms of total minutes, and then come back the next day on Tuesday, clean your mistakes up, and get ready for your preseason opener at home on Thursday.
Yeah, that is one nice thing about having a team that, at least foundationally, it's a bit stronger now. You've got guys who have played together for a season. Mm-hmm. You've got guys who are accustomed to the NBA life together. It's not like it was a season ago where the Hornets were really trying to, you know, figure out how do all these pieces fit, mm-hmm. plus didn't have summer league, didn't have a traditional training camp. There was a lot that really needed to be figured out in the first couple of preseason games, and it forced guys who, you know, like a PJ Washington, Gordon Hayward, Terry Rozier, they all played 20 minutes in that initial preseason game. I kind of lean with you. I'm not sure that needs to happen or is likely to happen here tonight against the Thunder.
Yeah, I don't think so. Again, we have to wait and see what JB depends on what he wants to do, but I just don't think that it's in his best interest to put the guys out there for a lot of time right now, you know, because you want to ramp them up slowly. And also, they've been going a little bit even before we started training camp last week. They were doing things, as we know, obviously in Miami, doing things at the facility here to kind of get themselves ready for the preseason. So they're kind of ready in shape. It's funny, Kai Jones mentioned that last week when we talked to him. He said, hey, you know, at Texas, one of the things we did at college was we come in here and we get run to death to kind of get ourselves in shape. But here in the pros, we kind of already in shape. So to me, that also tells you right there, it's more about just maybe doing a couple of things rotation-wise, seeing a play or two how they may work, kind of just go from there. Because at this point, it's the first game. You don't want to do too much. You have a lot to install offensively, defensively-wise. If anything, I think they probably just want to make sure defensively the guys are in the right spots. Because you know JB is a stalwart about defense. That's one of his main things. If you ain't playing defense, you ain't playing, period. So I think things like that he'll work on probably in the first game to kind of go from there.
While the Hornets are built to make a run at the playoffs right now and hopefully start contending for titles in the not-too-distant future, OKC, we kind of get the impression that they are built to play for championships in 2038. I mean, they've got so many first-round picks down the line. There's a lot invested in the future for the Thunder. But here in the present, there are some really good players on that roster. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a borderline all-star. There was a lot of buzz about Théo Maledon coming into last year, another guard there. Josh Giddey, a lottery pick this past season. You got Alexei Pokuševski, who is a very unique player for the Thunder in terms of being a seven-footer who can shoot the three, long and lanky, but it's got some wiggle to him out there on the floor as well. Who's one player that you will have your eye on for the Thunder as the Hornets take on OKC tonight?
I think you mentioned the SGA. You know, as long as he's out there, I kind of want to see him play, because it's kind of hard to put him into words for me, man. He's one of those players that you watch him play and it's like, man, this guy's really good. And he doesn't seem to get the credit maybe he deserves a little bit in the league right now. And I know that obviously the Hornets, believe it or not, they drafted him and he had his draft rights and traded him for Miles Bridges and whatnot. So it's kind of a little bit of a thing for Hornets fans, I'm sure, whenever you bring his name up. But it's just kind of amazing to me to see his progress of where he's gone to kind of where he's at right now. So I want to see him in action. And again, it's preseason, but him playing against LaMelo and the Hornets backcourt should be interesting to kind of go out there and just see how they go head-to-head.
He's another one who I think you can make a comparison to LaMelo Ball in terms of what kind of jump to expect. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and granted, his first year he was with the Clippers was a different situation, but 10 points per game, he was a starter for that team, playing about 26 minutes per game. But when he goes to OKC and the cupboard's a lot bearer, he jumped to 19 points per game really quickly. I guess it wasn't totally bare because it was a playoff team and they had Chris Paul, but certainly he has made some pretty significant jumps year one to year two to year three. So maybe another preview here for LaMelo Ball. All right, final question for Rod Boone here on his maiden voyage on the Hornets Hivecast, and hopefully we'll have you back many, many times throughout this season and the years to come. Do the Hornets make the postseason? Where do you think they will finish in the final totem pole of this 2021-2022 regular season?
First of all, to me, they're a playoff team. Again, as long as they're healthy, they're going to be right there. We saw it last year. So at worst, they're a plain tournament team at worst, but obviously they have better aspirations than that. And barring injury, they should be okay. So to me, they definitely are a playoff team. And I would say they probably can maybe go as high as fifth, but I would say probably somewhere around sixth, potentially seventh. Again, a couple of injuries don't go their way. They got to kind of fight. But I would say 6-7 range, somewhere around there.
Is there one player whose injury would be the most meaningful, impactful in terms of who's missing and how many games there are? Because clearly Gordon Hayward, when he was lost for basically the last third of the season, that was the turning point for the Hornets. Prior to that, they were the number four team in the East. And I think afterwards they were losing two out of every three games. So clearly him missing, and there were other players too, made that huge difference. Is there one player that has to play X number of games for the Hornets to reach the prediction that you've put out there being roughly a 5 or 6 team?
Again, another great question. I feel like it's a toss-up between LaMelo and Gordon, because LaMelo is the engine for this team, and we know what he can do, and we know the next level for him and his team is for him to come out there and show he can ball, just improve upon last year. But it's probably got to be Gordon again, man, because like you said, we saw last year just how much he means to this team. Even though LaMelo is getting the engine for the team, it feels like Gordon's like a traffic cop out there. It feels like he just essentially makes everybody else's job just easier, because he's like, okay, you should be over here. You should be over here. Okay, you should be over here. I'm going to play. Like, he just gives them different options. You can have a guy bringing the ball to the court, run the offense, you know, get a game-winning shot, create his own shot. Those are things that are kind of hard to replace. So I feel like, once again, Hornets will only go essentially as far as Gordon Hayward's health will take them this season.
Follow him. Follow his work at The Observer, but you can follow him on Twitter as well, at Rod Boone, RODBOONE, the new beat writer for the Charlotte Observer. And of course, Rob Longo, our producer, is saving all of your predictions, so we will hold it against you at the end of the season when the Hornets are in first in the East. We'll play this back and say, what the heck happened, Rod? You missed it entirely, right?
Absolutely. It'll be all on Twitter, I'm sure. What's that place? Cold Takes, whatever it is. Yeah, it'll be something like that.
Rod Boone of the Charlotte Observer, congratulations on the new role. We're looking forward to seeing you throughout the year in the Hornets media room and covering this team, and looking forward to reading your work every day in the Charlotte Observer.
Thanks a lot, Sam. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Rod Boone, and thanks to all of you for tuning in as well. Tomorrow, we will have our post-game breakdown podcast. Rob Longo will be in the anchor chair, joined by Sam Perley of Hornets.com. So when you wake up tomorrow morning and you want to have all the latest on what took place with the Hornets, you can check it out right here on the HHC. Till then, for Rod Boone, I'm Sam Farber, saying it's been a pleasure and a privilege having you with us, and we'll talk to you next time right here on the Hornets Hivecast.
Thanks for listening to the Hornets Hivecast. For more coverage, visit Hornets.com.